Exciting news! You can now purchase my book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions, simply by clicking the top link in the description. The book is available exclusively on BookBaby, who has been my partner in creating my book. Enjoy the video.
My favorite part was when she said, I, as a human agent, can act on your neurons or whatever she was saying. And obviously I said in the chat, yeah, that's what we're arguing for with intelligent design, that a consciousness can engage or interact or is because of consciousness as opposed to random. If she would show me rocks interacting with neurons or rocks interacting with the genetics, I think I'd be more impressed. But whenever they say we created life in a lab, yeah, we who?
Conscious agents. I can show you that.
Okay, go ahead. That's fine. If we want to start there.
Okay, there are these things called teratogens and mutagens. They exist in nature. They can be heavy metals or some sort of other toxic substance that literally can alter your DNA.
Okay. Interact. She made it sound like influence, interact, engage in some sort of positive way. I'm not saying there isn't an effect. Yeah, obviously radioactivity is going to mess up your gene code.
Yeah. I mean, it could be an effect. It could potentially alter it in a positive way too, because not all mutations are harmful. But like, it can happen, is all I was saying.
So I was going to ask her. She didn't bail you. You had her off the show. But can you maybe help me understand if my understanding of evolution is incorrect, and that because I believe in natural selection, adaptation. I think that's a thing. But the natural selection process. How through the theory of evolution is the new feature, how does it manifest? How does the new feature come into existence by which it can be then naturally selected?
So where does new information come from? We know that genes can be duplicated or changed, or changes in, I mean, you don't even need to get any additional DNA, just changes in the length of time that some genes are expressed for can cause massive changes to like the body of the organism. So again, the changes happen incrementally, very small. Nobody that believes in evolution is proposing this sort of Pokemon style evolution where, well, where did the change in DNA that got the insect to all of a sudden have wings and be able to fly come from? It doesn't happen that way. It happens incrementally, basically. But anyways, the simple answer is gene duplication, mutation, and changes in gene expression.
Okay, so you're talking about recombination, transcription, and when the transcription happens, the code is copied, but something is added, removed, there's a mistake, or there is a mutation in the transcription process. This mistake adds the functionality by which then we naturally select, or life forms naturally select. Yeah, it's mutations. Like that's where. So and that's okay. Darwinian evolution is doomed, in my opinion. Natural selection is a thing, but if you can come up with
what's the difference? You believe Darwinian in natural selection, but not Darwinian evolution. That's his theory. So right. What's the difference?
Well, kind of. There's another way that this could happen, too. There can have been an adaptive gene code created with the functionality to adapt over time. And then Darwin would be correct that natural selection happens. But then the invocation of this information addition is answered by it was designed by the gene code, as opposed to it happens via random mutation processes.
Well, yeah, which but is a violation that has, of the second that law has of no bearing on whether or not evolution is true. You could argue that it has a bearing. Like there's a deist perspective of evolution where, well, God seeded Earth with life, and then he walked away.
Or aliens, whatever.
Or alien. Well, that just kicks the can down the road, sort of. But
right, but I mean, those aliens are functionality. If something put a gene code with the ability to adapt.
Hold on. So like, there's the idea that God seeded life with or Earth with life and then walked away. That proves nothing. That falsifies or proves nothing about evolution. Now, if you take the young Earth creationist perspective that God created all forms of life on Earth at the same time, and the fact that life is related is a mere coincidence, then that in a way falsifies evolution, but not in whole, because I mean, you guys believe that the ark only had a few thousand species on it, but now there's millions. So you guys believe in speciation, even all that. It's
Yes.
just like the beginning parts of it, you have a different take, I guess, but.
Yeah, so I think it'd be good. A lot of people are just hearing me jump in the middle of this and don't know where I stand. But yes, I do think that speciation happens. Although I think that the highly exaggerating the amount of species that there are, if we actually don't look at what's hypothesized but what's been discovered, I think it's more like in the tens of thousands. If you want to vet that for me, you can. But they say, which would make sense, you find X amount and X amount of land. That means there should be X amount more, but I think the actual discoveries is like in the tens of thousands. I digress. If God created this,
No.
go ahead. Yeah, look at maybe see if I'm
No,
wrong.
they're like
I don't want to
literally,
speak.
there are upper estimates that we think there are like 10 million species on the planet, but we've actually documented about 1.5 million species. Those aren't estimations, those are actual, like,
Are we talking about animal, like bugs as well? Or are you talking about like a, let's say, land?
All forms of life. People think most species are bacteria, and that's not the case. They're just the most numerous
Right.
organisms. The greatest number of species belong in the insect world.
Okay. When we talk about the ark, we talk about land animals being put on the ark. So let's look at how many land animals have actually been discovered. And you could even include land and sea. I think it's tens of thousands. Now we talk about, if you want to
Aren't
talk about
insects land
bugs,
animals?
yes, but if that's the
There's
case and you're talking,
800,000 species of insects that we've documented.
okay, so if we're going to include insects in this, then they would take up a very small space on the boat, obviously. It's entirely possible that there was that diverse of that many insects at the beginning. I don't know particularly. Insects, I think, are a plague. And if you wanted to convince me God wasn't real, I would say insects would be the best evidence for that. I hate them.
Oh, that's
But
I
the.
yeah, but getting rid of insects would cause ecological collapse.
I know they're necessary. I like to eat birds, and birds need needs insects. Okay, so the point is, we should. I shouldn't have gone this direction, but we say millions and millions. Speciation isn't that big of an issue when we've only found tens of thousands, if that even. We haven't found millions of land and sea animals, minus insects, and yeah, like whatever you want to throw in there, bacteria, whatever.
Well, I mean, we have found over a million species in total.
Can you just do me a favor and look at how many land and sea animals we found, not with insects, not including insects?
But what does not including insects matter? I don't see how this matters for my argument or your
Okay.
argument.
It doesn't. Okay.
I'm
That's
just
fine. We can
saying
get off
it's a
that.
matter of fact, the case that there are like 800,000 insect species known about.
Right. I just feel like when we have this discussion, we're talking about land and sea animals. We're not talking about insects. I don't think. And it's like earlier. The discussion about animals came in, and I say that we're not animals, and obviously your chat says we are animals. We're including insects, obviously, in that. To me, the classification of animals is a very broad stroke intentionally. And as a human that's been alive for 46 years, there's something markedly different about the human than every other animal, whether it's bugs or I've got chickens right now, and a terrible thing is happening in my chicken colony where the son of the rooster is killing the dad because he's dominating. And so we have to decide if we're going to put the
Oh,
rooster out of his
humans have
misery
never
or
done
let
that.
his. They do, but not like this. This is like the law of the land. This is the order that these animals operate in. They're like, it's amazing to me. I have to defend that humans are different than animals. The fact that we have morals, the fact that we have creativity, and that we're on TikTok and we go to the moon and whatever. Like, when people say that we're animals, I understand they've created that classification, but to me, it's one of the biggest illusions that's ever been convinced on humanity, that we are the same as the fish and the same as the other things. You said that we're
I see
related.
no fundamental differences.
I know. That's crazy. I'm sorry. I love you. That's crazy, though. And everybody's saying
But
there's no
you
difference.
can't give me any.
I can't give you any.
No, if
We're
you're
on
going to say that
TikTok.
I have a cell phone and Curious George does not, that's not a fundamental difference. I
A
mean,
fundamental
birds can
difference.
fly, therefore they are closer to God. They are literally
What
angels.
about what
There's an
about
argument.
I don't have the debate of morals. I don't like that debate personally. I'm not a philosopher, but what about our moral the fact that we want to do well to others and we at least want to act neutrally, animals don't have that.
Yeah,
Like,
they
how did
do.
that help us evolutionarily?
There are animals that extend assistance to other species, and they certainly do it within their own group. Primates, it's been, I don't know if this has been studied with other animals, but
Primates, don't bring up primates,
primates
dude.
have an innate sense of fairness within them, right? You can take capuchin monkeys and have them do equal tasks but get different food rewards, and they go ape shit, no pun intended,
Good.
over that. They understand, I just got scammed, even though I did the same amount of work that this other person does. There's also really fascinating, if you, I know you won't like anything that, you won't agree, that is, with anything Robert Sapolsky would have to say. But if you just want to learn about, like, animal behaviors and stuff, he's a primatologist. Well, he's not a primatologist, he's a neuroscientist, but he studies primates a lot. But he talks about these really fascinating studies where, oh shit, what the hell was I about to say?
Primate helping each
Yeah,
other,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
primate morals.
Oh my God, what was I gonna say? Or, oh, your God.
Thank you. You said that they were working together
Yeah.
to whatever help something. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I said don't do primates while you think about it. Primates also, and I hope, I gotta say this in a way that I don't get canceled, but they absolutely rape and eat everybody, their own, their children. There's something clearly different about humanity and human
But
consciousness and
humans have
primate
done those
consciousness.
things.
We have, but it's not the standard operating procedure. And the humans, a
Well, it's
lot
not
of the
the
humans that
norm
do
for them
that,
either. It happens, but it's not the norm.
it's much more frequent. And a lot of that, like, everybody talks about, like, a Jeffrey Dahmer. That guy came out straight, and people are gonna love this. He came out and said he believed he was an animal. He was, why not? And in defense of natural selection and survival of the fittest, he was technically the most fit. I don't know why anybody would be mad. We're all animals, right? There's no difference. Eat people. You're the most dominant.
That's not what
That we're
survival of
not
the
that
fittest
way.
means.
He was more fit than the people he ate.
No, that doesn't
How?
make any sense in the context of what we understand about human evolution, or, well, the human species. The human species is a, God, I wish I could remember what I was gonna say about Sapolsky, but oh, I do remember now. Okay, so primates and bats will do this too. So we were talking about senses of morality. They will, so they live in these social groups just like we do, right? And they actually can remember and keep track of members of their species who do or do not share food, and there are consequences for that. Bats do this too. Bats do this weird thing of communal nursing. Mothers will nurse the bat babies of other bats in their whatever you call that, not a roost. I have no idea what the hell you call a group of a group of bats clinging to
What
a
is
ceiling. But they do communal feeding,
yeah.
but some are freeloaders and don't participate, but then other bats don't suckle their babies, making it
Okay.
statistically less likely that freeloading behavior does not carry through and become common in the
Right.
gene pool. It will happen.
Okay.
You will have psychopaths. You will have selfish individuals in your population all the time,
Right.
but there are literally mechanisms in place that block that. Now, the thing with Jeffrey Dahmer is you say, like, yeah, he was dominant, he was passing on his genes or whatever. Humans have these same, like, social norms, and you can call those morals because there's really not much of a difference at all. Like, animals have morals in the sense of we understand, don't do that, it's not good for our species. And they have ways to check it. So, anyways, Jeffrey Dahmer does all these horrible things, and people have argued that, like, oh, maybe there's a rapist gene out there or something like that, or
Right.
a warrior gene or something like that. But that belies the facts that we know about humans, which is we're cooperative, and individuals that act like that get ostracized. And so, no, it doesn't actually work for our species in any way.
I don't want to answer too much of the chat, but a guy says most psychopaths are religious. I think
Well, most people are religious.
we're most psychopaths being religious. That's not correct. In the 20th century, when we had the wholesale destruction of religion, or at least a huge reduction in religion through secular scientific philosophy that pervades all of our science. We ended up having 180 million deaths by government in the 20th century,
But
and
none
this
of
was
that was because of science.
a lot of it was actually. It was eugenics. It
No.
was
Oh, I hate
absolute
this
social
argument
Darwinism.
so much. So you're talking about like Stalin, for example.
Yeah, who was a militant atheist, a
There
scientific
was no
militant atheist.
science involved in that. They publicly, well, I don't know if it was public, they executed biologists who believed in Darwinian evolution. And the ones that they didn't execute, they kicked out of their country. Lysenko, I think that was his name, who was like the chief administrator of agriculture or whatever, he had these harebrained communist ideas about growing plants that were completely unscientific, but because it jived with their like
Right.
their communist beliefs were quasi-religious in a sense.
Right.
But it was there was nothing scientific about that. And yeah, tens of millions of people starved to death because of harebrained pseudoscientific ideas, not
It
because
wasn't just the
of
Holodorm.
science. And there certainly isn't anything you can glean in the Bible from how to grow corn. With Mao, same thing. The Great Chinese Famine was because of he just had all these stupid administrative ideas about how to grow food, and so he demanded that the peasants allocate a certain percentage of their land. You have to terrace it and grow these types of crops. And what ended up happening was enormous wide-scale erosion and crop failure because of that and a bunch of other things. So there was no science behind what they were doing.
Okay, to say there was no science is factually incorrect, and we can address that if you want to, but if you remember,
I
this
do.
came
I
up
really do.
because, okay, then we're going to get into that in a
If they
second, and we'll try
think it
and
was
navigate carefully.
science, but I can
Right, a
demonstrate that it
lot of
was
it was
false, then
pseudoscience.
I wouldn't say that's an argument
Yes,
for.
yes,
Go ahead.
rabid secular scientific materialism is pseudoscience. Yes, thank you for proving my point.
But they
Okay,
didn't, but they
so
weren't doing that.
okay, taking a step back. Most psychopaths were religious. It's just, it's factually inaccurate. Now, if you want to make the argument that people were largely religious up until modernity, and so there were more people who believed in a god until more recently, then yeah, you could maybe argue that point. But with the secular world, now we're 70-ish percent, well, 25% Christian, 25% Muslim, you know, whatever the breakdown is, we're still seeing psychopathy, and it's not religious particularly. And people, the bottom line is people do bad things. There's bad actors, and they will use whatever device of control they can, including religion, which is why I'm not a religious guy, and I don't promote religion particularly. I'm actually
Yeah,
irreligious because I think Christianity can be mis is misused and has been for a long time.
I
Catholicism.
basically agree with you. Inspiring Philosophy and I had a really big back and forth on this. I don't know if you saw it, but he says Christianity invented science and ended slavery, and I said no, it absolutely didn't. But he kept thinking I was arguing that slavery happened because of Christianity.
Oh,
No,
yeah.
I think good and bad people do good and bad things, and they try to
Right.
justify it based on what they believe. We call this like motivated reasoning or whatever.
Of course.
But there are arguments, and people did make arguments for slavery using like the Bible, but
Right.
you can't give me a secular reason to do slavery. You can't give me a
Right.
secular reason
Well,
to commit a genocide, but religious reasons have been given. So I don't want to change the subject away from
okay.
science. I'm basically just saying I agree with you for the most
I
part.
know we agree on some things. I mean, it's been a respectful discourse over the years now, but a couple things. It would be ridiculous to say that Christianity created slavery because the Jews were Egypt were slaves in Egypt, and that was way before Christ. Obviously, slavery has been, it's the human resource. It is a major commodity and has been how most empires have been built. So yes, it was misused, largely ironically, by deists. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, who weren't Christians, who played political Christian. And, you know, at the time that the Christianity was coming over here to America, they were basically trying to, a lot of them were the Pilgrims, the Puritans, trying to leave Catholic oppression because they weren't free to worship Jesus because Catholicism wasn't interested in that. So they were coming over here and they were the working class. They didn't come over here with money and weren't coming over here controlling people. So there's a little bit of a misnomer there. But I think that it is important and a thing that we can agree on is that bad actors will use whatever method to control people. And for a long time, it was a theocracy. We were in a theocracy for hundreds of years, probably all of human history, some version of theocracy. Egypt was a theocracy. Rome was a theocracy. So what happened is we've gone away from a theocracy, a God-based control system. And the reason why communism wanted science-based control is in this scenario, you can still control people. Because what it comes down to is the things that we don't know about how things work and how we get here, whoever controls that information does have the power. So on the chessboard, the king and the queen, next to them are the bishops, the right and left-hand man. They're the ones that push this information down the org chart. And for a long time, it was theocracy. And what C.S. Lewis was afraid of is it can turn into a technocracy where science is used in the stead of religion. And so when he says that religion is caused by psychopaths, like, okay, we got rid of religion and psychopaths still killed people wholesale on government levels because it wasn't about religion. It was about psychopaths doing what psychopaths do.
Okay, so anyways, what about the science in the Soviet Union?
Okay. I'm glad we get to talk about this, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. So we had, at the beginning of the theory of evolution, we had Darwin, who his right-hand man, actually the man behind the throne, if you would, was Thomas Henry Huxley. Thomas Henry Huxley hated Christianity. He created what's called the X Club. He's actually the guy who created Nature magazine. He was Darwin's bulldog. Huxley and Darwin and Lyell were all white European buddies, and as they were promoting this theory, the root level of this was that the white Europeans were the height of evolution. They taught multi-regional hypothesis. Humans had been evolving around the world in different places. And so you had the white Europeans being the height of evolution, which is obviously okay. What the guy in Germany
can
also
you,
agreed
can you
to. And
point
the people
to me
that are white.
Where Huxley said that white European humans were the apotheosis of evolution?
I can, and if you want to, I can actually go... I can certainly show you where Darwin said it, and I think I can show where Huxley said
didn't.
It as well.
I know what you're going to say about Darwin, and he did not ever say
it's
that.
It's in The Descent of Man.
I know, I know.
Yes. Okay, then explain it. Justify it, what he said there.
Do you have the quote? I don't remember the quote verbatim, but I've...
I do have the quote. I just need to pull it up. Give me one second. Actually, I have my laptop down here. Hold on. Hold on. It's from The Descent of Man, page 156.
Yep.
And before I read this, I want everybody to know that I staunchly and entirely disagree with this statement. I 100% believe that 100% is a strong one. I believe that we all descend from Adam and Eve. We're all literal cousins made in the image of God. And any differences that we have is literally skin deep and cultural. But so I certainly do not believe what Darwin is saying here. But here we go. This is page... Wow, it's so hard to read this all the time. Page 156 of The Descent of Man. I'm going down to the fourth paragraph. The great break, it's going to take about 2 minutes to read. The great break in the organic chain between man and his nearest allies, they're not metal, which cannot be bridged over by any extinct or living species has often been advanced as a grave objection to the belief that man is descended from some lower form. But this objection will not appear of much weight to those who, from general reasons, believe in the general principle of evolution. Breaks often occur in all parts of the series, some being wide, sharp, and defined, others less so in various degrees, as between the orang and its nearest allies, between the tarsius and the other lemuriid. I'm sorry if I get that word wrong. Between the elephant and, in the more striking manner, between the ornithopters something and the echidna, and all other mammals. But these breaks depend merely on the number of related forms which have become extinct. So this is where it gets good. This was just some background. At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world.
Yes.
At the same time, the anthropomorphous apes, as Professor Schaffhausen has remarked, will no doubt be exterminated. The break between man and his nearest allies will then be wider, for it will intervene between man and a more civilized state, as we may hope. Even then, the Caucasian and some ape as low as a baboon, instead of, as now, between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla.
Okay, so I don't disagree that Darwin was racist, but here's what he's talking about. Let me make a separate statement. In the future, people will continue sexually assaulting other people. Do you agree or disagree?
Of course, unfortunately, yes.
Am I endorsing it?
No.
No. Darwin in there is in no way is he saying this is what should happen. He's just predicting that this is what will happen. It's not an endorsement or a claim. He probably was a white supremacist. Right. Not even probably. I mean, he literally talks about them as being like stupider and less intelligent and stuff like that.
Right, because they
but that
they
wasn't believed... that wasn't remarkable for his time. Victorian white dudes from the UK were right. super racist. But right. Darwin was also far ahead of his time because unlike
he was
people
an abolitionist,
that
yes.
He was a what?
An abolitionist. He was against slavery.
Oh yeah, he was against slavery. But also he purported that the human species came out of Africa. And that's completely not what, like, for example, the Nazis right. thought. They had this weird perverted thing that there were different human species. And then the one Aryan of them, the Aryans or whatever. Which the idea of the Aryan race goes way back into like the early 1800s or something like that. I can't remember.
It's way deeper. It's way older than that. Thule and the occult and Matt. Yeah. It goes way deeper
it's
than that. It's an ancient
weird thing, but whatever.
Norse that, religious system.
Yeah, it's very strange. But Darwin's ideas about... what humans are and what humans are and where we come from, we're actually far ahead of their time and progressive. You know, we think of Abraham Lincoln as being that kind of person too, but he had super racist ideas. Funny enough, Abraham Lincoln and Charles Darwin were born on the exact same day. Actually they're, it's a few days from now. Right. Darwin was a racist person, but there's no argument that evolution is racist by any means. He didn't make the same kinds of arguments that later, like, you know, Nazis or whatever made. He was not a proponent of eugenics. We can talk about how, eugenics. Right. We can talk about how that's not really scientific and there's nothing about evolution you can glean, or there's nothing about eugenics you can really glean from evolution either, if you want.
That's totally pseudoscience.
But, anyways, I talked a long time. So, go ahead.
Right. So what they did there is they said, okay, we are evolving from apes, and the white European has, you know, whatever, they look different. It was like literally like an optics thing. And we're, you know, the British Empire was obviously very domineering or whatever at the time, dominating. And so they basically had this new discovery to say to the world, look, our science has proven that we are the highest evolved of the Homo species. And so the more colored you are, or the, you know, the less white European you look, the less evolved you are. And this is where ethnology came in and eugenics.
Does he say
and
that, though?
He doesn't elaborate on it as much, but his okay. others did. And then there were others around him. A really big one, unfortunately, was Ernst Haeckel. He was the scientist that actually pushed the NAZI science version of eugenics. And he was inspired by an American named Madison Grant. And Madison Grant was the first head of the park system. And he was the one who wrote a book called The Passing of the Last Great Race. Madison Grant, who worked for the American Natural History Museum and was a head honcho. He was involved in that Otubanga debacle where they locked up the African man in the zoo, the Bronx Zoo, to show everybody they had proven evolution, which was a big thing. Ethnology was going on all around the world at the time. They're doing the World's Fair.
I hate to do this, but this has nothing to do with whether or not evolution is true. I'm not going to disagree that these people were monsters and they had horrible ideas.
Right, no, this whole thing came from the guy in the comment that said, religious people are psychopaths. And I was making the point, and then we spun down into this, that people are psychopaths and they'll use religion or science. And if Jesus said, love your brothers, you love yourself, and whoever's greatest among you will be the servant, and that can be misconstrued into a theocracy, then telling everybody they're animals in a meaningless universe and those who are the most fit can certainly be misconstrued into a divisive control tactic.
Yeah, it can, but the solution to that is not, let's do more church and just keep the science away from people because it can lead to false ideas and can cause harm. The solution is better science and more education.
Yeah, I'm all for science. Okay, so let's talk about evolution. We were talking about the science of evolution, and my bias is that we are created. I believe in the Bible, obviously, though, if you guys know this. But in my logic, I don't think that we are animals. Obviously, we covered that. People disagree with me, I understand. They seem markedly different than humans who are flying in space and being on TikTok and not eating our young and these kind of things. But the issue for me scientifically and why I said Darwinian evolution, I think, needs a revamp or is going to be overturned, because the process by which new attributes are created, you could use that word, is random transcription errors, mutations, error correction, error copy issues. And sure. So the idea that error copy issues can create all of the functionality, including our consciousness and vision, etc., seems unlikely to me, and it would be my guess that over time they're going to come up with a new invocation, a new theory. Even Huxley didn't believe Darwin. He believed in a punctuated equilibrium. So some sort of other mechanism here. Thomas Henry Huxley didn't believe Darwin. He believed in punctuated equilibrium. He just saw that the people were behind Darwin, and so he agreed with him.
Punctuated equilibrium, that whole idea came from, that came in the 1970s, I think it was, from that American paleontologist, I can't remember his name.
No, I mean, it came from how Huxley actually coined the term agnostic, and he's the one, his version of evolution, which again, things do change over time, but the mechanism we're talking about here, his belief was that it was punctuated equilibrium. I can pull up the article if you want. It's from Britannica talking about, it's a whole write up on Thomas Henry Huxley. But anyways, regardless, the idea
term,
of random mutation.
Punctuated equilibrium, the term came into the scientific lexicon in 1972 and came from Stephen Jay Gould and Niels Eldredge. Sorry, I couldn't remember Gould's name, but like, if they're just describing something that's close to what Huxley thought, that evolution happens in steps rather than as gradualism, then okay, but just whatever.
Okay,
mostly just
wrong,
a
I'm
detail
wrong.
Not a trying to look not a this... major contention.
Right, Darwin's bulldog. Let's see here. Huxley initially had difficulty with natural selection itself and opted for an internal source of variation that could produce new species at a stroke. Where am I getting punctuated equilibrium from? Yeah, that does sound like a Stephen Jay Gould thing. Okay, so let me read this again. He initially had difficulty with natural selection itself and opted for an internal source of variation that could produce new species at a stroke. So in some bit of my research, people are going to love me saying that, it was explained as a precursor, or actually I thought he coined the term punctuated equilibrium, but it makes me want to look into that a little bit more, because it could be right that could be a newer term.
Yeah, well, no, I know the term is from Gould. But anyways, did he draw an inspiration from Huxley? Maybe, but I don't think so, because they got their ideas from looking at the fossil record, because they see periods of stasis followed by fairly sudden changes, not in species, but like, well, kind of, but only at the genus level, not the family level or whatever. But anyways,
right. So okay, that leads. I'm like researching that because I want to know. So if I misspoke there, I apologize. But whether it's the branding of punctuated equilibrium, the idea that something inside is causing quick random mutations is what Huxley was in favor of. And if you actually study Daniel Dennett, I forget as a dyslexic, it's either Denton or Dennett. I forget, but
he's a philosopher.
Yeah, him and the other people looking at, I would say, salvaging this theory, they're looking for new methods other than random mutations. You know, gene flow, there's a couple other terms, obviously genetic bottlenecking. They're looking for ways to explain this through without just random mutations, because it's in my belief system. I'll say this really quickly and then we can go on to whatever opposition you would have to this. In my belief system, God created an adaptive gene code, which would be necessary because you live in a climate that's hot and cold and high altitude and low altitude and droughts, etc. So you needed to be adaptive or it would have failed out. So what I believe the evidence is pointing to is a designed gene code, which would have been Adam, obviously, I believe that. And over time, because of the second law of thermodynamics, that gene code is increasing in entropy. So we are seeing the aggregation of mutations. So we had a better gene code that was adaptive that's got worse over time, that's gotten worse. And the theory of evolution wants to say we had a base level gene code that got better through random mutations or became more ordered or gained into a functionality, which to me is a violation of the second law of thermodynamics. And I would see need to see much more evidence than, you know, homogeneity between us to say that yes, Darwin was right. And if you want to defend that stance, what would you, if you were trying to convince me that evolution happened and that there was a reversal in entropy and things got better accidentally, what would you point to go, this shows that. This is why I believe that.
Well, let me write that down.
Yeah, it's an
Evidence
honest question.
of
If, because in my
progress.
view,
Okay, no,
you have a
I wrote it
card
down.
that's
I will
gotten worse.
answer that,
Okay,
but you
good.
started off with something different that I really need to address, which is that you got the entire process backwards because you started off saying, yeah, we have gene flow and I can't remember what else you talked about, but and
Our
you
genetic
said that.
bottlenecking and gene flow
Yeah,
is what
you
they're
said
saying.
those are attempts to rescue the idea of like Darwinian evolution because oh, the random mutation thing isn't working. That's
Correct.
not how it happened. What happened is we discovered that gene flow, for example, happens, and that you and that bottlenecks happen, and that something like a founder effect can happen. They didn't say, like, this is not how science works. It's not like scientists went around and saying, like, well, how can we make Darwinian evolution work? Well, let's just say that this thing called gene flow happens. No, we discovered that and it became incorporated into the theory, kind of like genetics. Darwin knew nothing about genetics, how it worked, but he predicted that that genetics will happen because one of the core pieces to it is that the changes that organism or the things that cause variation within organisms is heritable, right? So genetics became part of it, which is from what I understand why we how we get the modern synthesis or whatever. But that being said, the backwards thing, the way you described it sound like they're working backwards, but you're the one working backwards because you're saying, well, look, the DNA code, which religion did not predict, which the Bible does not
I
talk
disagree
about
with
or
that.
anything,
I entirely disagree
you
with that.
say that, oh, well, God, the reason we have an adaptive gene code is because God made us with one. That's working backwards. That's just a post hoc rationalization that I don't think you can glean from anything that's in, like, the Bible, for example.